And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli. I'm Vince Bonfigli. We're sitting here on May the 13th, the day after Mother's Day, and got a lot of good stuff coming up. A wrap-up from Darlington and the preview to the upcoming Sprint All-Star Race. And joining me to talk about that is none other than Miss Sprint Cup, Jacqueline Rooney. Jacqueline, welcome to the show. Jacqueline? Oh, I guess we lost Jacqueline. Let's try it again. Anyway, see if Jacqueline can call back. I gave her the number. It looked like she was all set to come on, and I don't know, maybe she didn't hear me or put her on the air or what. So as we're waiting for Jacqueline to get back through, hopefully, I had this problem with Brooke last week, so and this is Vince Bonfigli here, and Jacqueline is attempting to get through. We're having a little board problems here, so please stand by. We've got the wrap-up of Darlington coming up this weekend. We have the Sprint All-Star Race. So let's try this again. I'd like to welcome to the show Jacqueline Rooney in the Sprint Cup. Jacqueline, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Well, I hate to say this, but you're the... I guess I saved the best for last. You're the only Miss Sprint Cup that hadn't been on the show, and I've had every one of you on but you, so you've made it.
Oh, well, it's my lucky week then. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Now I finally feel caught up. So I've had everybody from Anne-Marie and Paige and Monica and Kim and Kristen and Brooke.
Wow, you really have had all the Miss Sprint Cup girls on.
Hey, you've got stuff to promote, and especially with the big All-Star Weekend coming up, and you're one of the longest tenured Miss Sprint Cups.
I am. I'm on my third season. But, yeah, like you said, this is probably our busiest week with Sprint because we're obviously the sponsor of the NASCAR, the Sprint All-Star Race, happening this weekend. I can't believe it's already here. So we're getting prepared for that. We're in our own backyard at Charlotte Motor Speedway. But I was looking at the list of drivers that are locked in. There's 19 drivers that are confirmed to be in the Sprint All-Star Race. There's still 25 drivers that are not in yet. So there's two ways to get in. The Sprint fan vote, and that's where the fans get to vote the drivers in. NASCAR Mobile 13 on your phone. It's an app. It's free if you're a Sprint customer. That counts as double if you vote from there. Or NASCAR.com. There's another way to vote. Or they can race their way in with the showdown, which is happening right before the Sprint All-Star Race Saturday night. So there's still a few ways that these drivers, I mean, you have drivers like, you know, Martin Truex Jr. and Danica Patrick and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and even last year's Sprint Fan Vote winner, Bobby Labonte, that are still not in the Sprint All-Star Race yet. So it's going to be interesting. And it's the closest vote in years. There's about 52,000 votes being casted every day. So it's going to be interesting to see who actually wins the Sprint fan vote this year.
Well, considering you said there's only 19 and they're going to take 25 this year, that's a lot. And
There's 19 locked in. There's three spots still open. So those three spots, one goes to the Sprint fan vote winner, and then the other two spots are the drivers that finish 1-2 in the showdown.
Okay. That's usually the way it's been going. And the winner of the All-Star Race gets a nice $2 million prize from what Mikey Waltrip was saying. He said when he won, it was only
$200,000. Yeah. Sprint gives you $1 million if you win the Sprint All-Star race. Then Bruton Smith put an extra $1 million on the line if you lead all five segments, which this year's Sprint All-Star race is broken up into 4 20-lap segments and then a 10-lap shootout at the end. And the interesting part is they line you up depending on the fastest driver from the previous segment, and then there's a mandatory pit stop leading into the final 10-lap shootout. So it's going to be interesting to see the strategy that these drivers take.
I know. I like the way they always throw strategies in to try to throw the guy, the crew chiefs off to see who's going to pit when, whether they have to take two or four, but they definitely have to at least come in and stop. And it's always a fun race to watch. It's under the lights. You have everybody that's eligible that hasn't made it yet in the open race, and it's going to be interesting to see who races their way in. So when how does it work if your top vote getter on the fan vote races his way in? Does it move down to the next two people or person?
Yeah, and actually last year, Dale Jr., I don't know the actual results, but I know Dale Jr. was probably in the top couple spots for the Sprint fan vote, and he actually won the showdown. And so Bobby Labonte got the Sprint fan vote last year. So this year, Dale Jr. is already locked in as one of the 19 drivers in the Sprint All-Star race because of his win last year. So, you know, it's a tight race for the Sprint fan vote right now. And I actually get to talk to Dale Jr. this weekend. He's coming out to the Sprint Unlimited Experience at Charlotte Motor Speedway. I'm going to be interviewing him. So I'm going to ask him if he's a little bit more at ease this year, knowing he's already in the Sprint All-Star race, or if he's still just as nervous, because it's a no-points race, yet a lot of money on the line.
That's a very good question to ask him, and I'm curious to see what he says. Now, I know there's a lot of fan activity before the event and pretty much all or during the event, but I guess people like to get down and watch the racing. The Sprint Unlimited, the Sprint exhibit, we'll call it, because you got three tractor trailers loading stuff. Yeah, you have a little courtyard there, and you're going to be there all week because you're there for the Sprint All-Star race and then the Coca-Cola 600, so... Fortunately, you ladies don't have to do much traveling unless there's some sprint activity that you go on somewhere. So you pretty much got a good 2 weeks at home.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. And this week, for the fans that are on Twitter that are listening, follow us because every day this week, 2 o'clock Eastern time, we're giving out 5 sets of Sprint All-Star Race tickets. So we gave out 5 of them this afternoon. We're going to be doing it all the way till Friday, every single day. So you can follow us on Twitter there, or sprint.com/speed has all the racing kind of central stuff for us, including that $100 offer where all phones right now are $100 off. So like the Samsung Galaxy S3, which is my phone that I'm calling you on, is free. So that's a place for any kind of racing information that you need from the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series.
Now the S3, that one is that a 3G or a 4G phone?
That is a 4G phone, 4G LTE phone.
We're not getting some old technology here, so you're getting some up-to-date stuff. And I know they came out with the S4, but the S3 has still got a whole bunch of nice little features that you can use, and I'm sure you get to use it a lot working for Sprint.
Yeah, that's actually a perk of the job is we get to use the newest phones that come out. So I'm hoping here shortly they'll bring me up to the S4 that just came out. But, you know, I was looking, all my family's on Sprint. And so with this $100 offer, we're eligible. We can use it too. So I've been talking to all my family. We've been shopping around trying to get all them upgraded because you can't beat it. I mean, cell phones, $100 off. It's unbelievable. And the fans that come out to the track, that's the place to do it because – in addition to the $100 off, we throw in a pass to, like, Victory Lane or the driver's meeting or driver introductions. We call it a VIP experience. So we're going to have that at every single race, every single Sprint Cup Series race throughout the year, race-only specials at the track. And plus, if you're thinking about switching to Sprint, why not do it at the track and then go to Victory Lane. I mean, it's not a bad gig.
Ah, that's for sure. And they get to be you or one of the other two Miss Sprint Cups because you're going to be there the whole weekend, and it's not like a travel schedule. I saw that you were in Talladega in Victory Lane. You must have had a long weekend.
I was. I've actually done the last 2 weeks of Victory Lane, so Talladega and Darlington, and it's just been a blast. And to see Matt Kenseth get the win in Darlington. And David Reagan, I mean, he was one of the eligible drivers for the Sprint Fan Vote, and then he obviously won at Talladega. So he doesn't have to worry about, you know, trying to get fans to vote for him. And that was honestly one of the most emotional Victory Lanes I've ever seen. To see Motorsports get that win, I mean, David Reagan got out of the car and he literally got on the roof and jumped into his crew. It was a great Victory Lane to be a part of.
And the thing about his story is the team he used to, you know, drive the number six car for Roush Fenway.
Uh-huh.
And the year Trevor Bayne won the Daytona 500, David Reagan screwed up on a restart and moved down a lane before taking the flag, causing him to get penalized, which allowed the restart to be redone. And, of course, he was out of contention then, and that was able to help David Reagan win his Daytona 500. I mean, Trevor Bayne win the Daytona 500 that year. Otherwise, it was pretty much David Reagan's race to win at that point.
Absolutely, and that was in February 2011, and then just a few months later in July at Daytona, David Reagan got the win. So it was kind of a cool victory for him, and I asked him last weekend when I got to interview him, I said, which win meant more to you, the Daytona win because you kind of came so close a few months before, or the Talladega win? And he said the Talladega win. I think it was because it was fresh in his mind, but also new team, Front Row Motorsports, and such a small team. It was a great win for him, he said.
I think that even makes it that much more special when it's a small team that pulls off a big win, kind of like Regan Smith did in the Southern 500 a couple years ago.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's not so much that those guys can't win. It just goes to show you that the equipment they're in makes. And then a bit of luck has to play into the fact that you got to be in the right place at the right time. And speaking of right place at the right time, how does a Michigan girl like yourself wind up getting to be a Miss Sprint Cup?
I've traveled. All my jobs that I've had, I've traveled. And I was kind of around the NASCAR world for about 3 years before. And my friend told me about this job as Miss Sprint Cup, and she said, you know, Jacqueline, you love people, you love racing, and you love traveling. And those are kind of the three essentials that form this job. And I was still in college at the time, and you have to have a college degree. So I doubled up my last semester to graduate early to interview, and luck had me, and, you know, I got the job, and I'm on my third season now, so the fact that it's my job to travel to every single NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race is kind of not a bad job at all. You know, I get to do what I love every day, and I think that the saying goes, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, and I truly believe that.
That's for sure, and you have one of the own distinctions of being, I guess, we should say this, the only married Miss Sprint Cup.
I am a Mrs. Sprint Cup.
And how does hubby like we have to go away every weekend, or does he get to travel with you?
It's almost like I'm there because he follows the race on his phone on the NASCAR Mobile 13, and then he watches me in Victory Lane. So he kind of feels like he's there with me all the time, but he comes out to some races sometimes.
Well, that's good. But you had already been a Miss Sprint Cup before you got married, so he didn't know what he was getting into, right? So,
well, I was already engaged when I got the job, so I was already heading down that path.
Well, so he knew you were getting into a job where you traveled a lot and did a lot of promotional work, and, you know, it's just one of those things that, like you said, if it's a job you like, it's not really working. It's just more like getting to do something you enjoy, and as long as you enjoy doing it, you might as well keep doing it.
Exactly. Yeah, I've traveled for, I'm going on my 8th year of traveling, and that's about as long as we've been together. So it's pretty much normal for us.
That's pretty good. You know, you got something good going when you have to travel a lot and you can maintain a relationship because everybody, sorry about that. That was my cat jumping on something. He's a little bit of a klutz, but maybe he needs a Sprint phone. Do they make Sprint phones for cats? Or not yet?
Maybe. They could work on that.
But anyway, it's good having you on. And any new phones coming out now? I know you have the S4 coming out. All the carriers are carrying that. How about that? The Windows phones? Does Sprint have any of the Windows phones on the market, or is that not something they've touched yet?
Well, the newest ones we have are obviously the Samsung Galaxy S4, like you mentioned. We have the HTC One. We have just if you go to Sprint.com, it's a really clean homepage, and they lay it out very nicely. So you can check out all the phones there. I still go on all the time. Like I said, I'm in the process of upgrading my family to the new S4. So I would recommend Sprint.com has all the layouts of all the new phones.
Out of all the ones that you've used, which one do you like the best? The S3, have you used the iPhone? It seems to me that there's people that get into the iPhone that kind of like to stick with it. And then you get the Android base, which I guess the S3 is. Which is something I use. I kind of want to stay away from the Apple products. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but
no, I agree with you. I think you're either an iPhone user or an Android user, and I'm very much an Android user. Kim and Brooke are both iPhone users, so it balances out well when we have to talk about these products. Because I'm a firm believer in I want to believe in something that I'm representing, and so the fact that I can talk about the Samsung Galaxy S3, and I actually use it, and then Kim and Brooke can talk about the iPhone, you know, that way we know what we're talking about, and I believe in what I'm talking about.
That's always good, and the fact that, you know, Sprint has some good products out there, and I think one of the biggest things that they have going for them is their totally unlimited data plan. I mean, everybody seems to be more on the on that end of the phone than the talking end of the phone anymore. It seems to work out that way, with whether it's social media or anything else.
It's true. And I remember years ago, before I was with Sprint, I dreaded opening my phone bill. And I dreaded the fact that I was probably going to have to spend a lot of my paycheck on my cell phone bill, because truly unlimited everything wasn't offered yet. And so the fact that I can, you know, engage with fans this weekend and tell them, you know, a lot of people have, let's say, 2 or 3 teenagers on their plan. We all know teenagers, pretty much anybody doesn't like to put their phone down. A lot of data being used. And so the fact that I can tell them they can pay one price every month and it's not going to go up is an eye opener for a lot of people, because that's what they need. One price, truly unlimited data, text, calling, whatever you use your phone for, it's really good with Sprint.
And another thing that Sprint offers that I guess the other carriers don't is the fact that being a sponsor of NASCAR's main series, you could actually watch the races on your phone.
That's true. The NASCAR Mobile 13, if you're not a Sprint customer, you have to pay for it. It's, you know, upwards in the 20-something a year, depending on your carrier. But with Sprint, it's absolutely free. You get the live leaderboard during the race, in-car audio. It turns your phone into a scanner. You get the live race updates. It's the race radio. I mean, the fact that we are the title sponsor of the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, it makes accessibility for NASCAR fans that much greater.
And you know, that's the thing, too, is the fact that 8 years ago, because I'm an older guy now, before they even had smartphones and cell phones, you used to have to either bring your own scanner and set it into one channel. You couldn't flip through. You didn't have any video graphics to look at. And, you know, now if you could all do it on your smartphone. Does Sprint still have that handheld device that you can get at the track for, I guess, non-Sprint users, where you rent them out for the race and to watch the race on that with the in-cars and all that?
We actually ended that a few years ago. It's called the Fan Vision now. They still have them at track, but we are not the sponsor of it anymore.
I wonder why. I guess they have to cut back somewhere. So instead of it, out of the, to be able to give people all that unlimited data. Now, how much data do you use a month?
It's funny you ask because I was playing with my phone last night, and you can actually go into your settings on your Sprint phone and look at your data use. And I have it turned off that it regulates how much I use because, you know, with Truly Unlimited, you don't have to worry about that. So I'm not sure of the number of how much I use, but I do know that I'm on Twitter a lot, and we just recently joined Instagram as Miss Sprint Cup, so I've been on that a lot. And then Facebook, I'm just as guilty of. So a lot of data being used by me, for sure.
Well, you and the other two Miss Sprint Cups as well, because it seems like you ladies are always putting stuff up there. And how do you keep track of it all? I mean, I could understand Twitter and Facebook, but then we start going to Instagram and some of the other sites, it seems like just how to keep track. Or you have one that spreads everything out to all of them. Save yourself some time and energy.
Well, with Twitter, it's more short updates. With all of them, we're doing behind-the-scenes kind of access and information. Instagram is just photos. And then Facebook, we're able to do photo albums from the weekend and show people. You know, I just put up we have those $100 offer that we tell everyone about. So it's just it's a mixture of racing behind the scenes, our personal lives, and Sprint offers as well. So it's just a good mix of all of it.
I don't know how you ladies do it, but between all the travel and all the uploading and the activities out at the Sprint Experience, getting fans to do all sorts of things like hula hoops and strongman competitions.
It's fun.
I stopped. I was at the Richmond race because I was covering that one. Then figured I'd stop out at the Sprint Experience because I figured I might as well meet the Miss Sprint Cups I had on the show. You weren't at that one, so I couldn't meet you ahead of time. So, but now that you've been on the air with me, I'll have to catch up with you sometime and meet you in person.
Yes, I should be at the Richmond race in the fall, so I will have to meet you there.
Well, that's good. That's a nice little track. And for some reason, that night race is one of the ones, and that being a race where that's the last race to make the chase should bring out all the drivers that have a shot that want to go for it. So it should be a wild race, kind of like the end of the Talladega race where maybe not that much carnage. But
well, last year, I remember... Yeah, in Richmond last year, we had the really long rain delay. We were at the track for 18 hours that day because we had to, after Victory Lane, they have the kind of a mock Victory Lane celebration for the chase drivers. And I had to interview all the drivers that made the chase in the NASCAR Sprint Cup last year. So I think we left the track at about 2 or 3 a.m. I mean, it was a long day, but what's cool is when all these drivers are celebrating and you saw Jeff Gordon barely make it in, you don't realize it's almost the middle of the night. You're just kind of, the adrenaline's pumping. And so Richmond is definitely a cool race because it's, like you said, it's the last race before we kick off the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup. So it's a big deal.
I forgot about the festivities afterwards for all the chasers. And then you get to go out and do all that kind of stuff. You have all that there, and then like 2 in the morning with that rain delay must have been something. Because, I mean, a normal Richmond race gets over about 11 o'clock. And I think it was about after the media press conferences that we do in the media center, I think the winner goes back out to Victory Lane to do more photo shoots and with all the chase stuff coming down. I don't know how you ladies stay awake. That's a long day, and you're on your feet pretty much the whole day.
Yeah, you know what keeps me going is I think of growing up and all the times I watched the race on TV, and I watch Victory Lane, and I watch, you know, everything happening, and the fact that I'm there now, it makes me you know, count every moment as a blessing, because I remember being young watching this on TV, and the fact that I'm there now is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, but when you were watching on TV, you say, well, I had enough of this and turn it off.
I could, yes. Can't do
there.
That now.
Now that you know you're there, then you take the you get drenched with the beer, the champagne, the Gatorade, who knows what. You can't wait to get back to the hotel and jump in the shower, I guess, or and then catch some sleep for, I guess, an early flight out of town. Fortunately, I guess a Saturday night race, you have a chance of Sunday. I don't know what the schedule is to get back to the airport and hop on the plane for you ladies is, but I know it's pretty grueling to have to just go from one to the other, and then you really don't get a chance to rest, I guess, until you get back home to Charlotte.
Yeah, we stay pretty busy, and you know, after every win during the week on Tuesdays, we bring victory breakfast to the winning race shop. So this week is going to be obviously Joe Gibbs and Matt Kenseth. That will be tomorrow morning. So because you think about it, let's say maybe 100 people from the team get to travel and celebrate a win at the track. There's still a couple hundred more back at the shop, depending on the race team, obviously, that don't get to celebrate. So that's why Sprint brings them breakfast every week. So we do that. We also go into the office. We have some filming during the week. This week is busy with, we're doing Catwalk for a Cause with Martin Truex Jr., his charity this week as well. So there's a lot happening, especially leading up to the Sprint All-Star Race and the Coke 600, all here in Charlotte. But it is nice to be home for a few weeks.
That's for sure. And the way things go there, I'm pretty sure you might have known it was going to be at one of the Gibbs shops, whether Kyle Busch had won the race or not. It seemed like to be his race to win, and it's unfortunate he cut a tire, because I think that he would have been another sweep of the weekend for him, and he seems to be on to something sweeping weekends from time to time. So.
Yeah, he definitely came close. He was leading pretty much the whole race at Darlington. So what was interesting is I was standing in victory lane waiting for the end of the race, and when Matt Kenseth took over the lead towards the end of the race, every single fan got up out of their seat and was cheering. It was a cool side-by-side racing action moment, I think, for the fans to witness, and they were definitely on their feet excited.
Well, being what happened with Gibbs and winning their appeal and getting all their points back to get back in the championship hunt, you know, that's another big payday the drivers are looking for, too, is to get that big silver trophy at the end of the season, that $5 million check that goes with that one as well. So, and so for him, they had knocked him up 50 points, NASCAR did, and that kind of takes you out of the running, but you have to do it on wins. So at least he got a lot of that back and was able to add to that, so he could actually be in contention without, you know, having to fight his way into it and do it on a wild card spot where it's a lot tougher, even though he does have a couple of wins under his belt, which always helps.
Yeah, and maybe he'll get the back-to-back win, you know, last weekend in Darlington and this weekend at the Sprint All-Star Race, so we'll have to see.
That's for sure. And, I better let you go, Jacqueline. It's a pleasure having you on for the first time, and I hope you won't be a stranger. Now you can go back to the other Miss Sprint Cups and compare notes.
Well, thanks. It was an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and I look forward to doing it again. Have a good evening.
All right. You too. Bye-bye now.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
There you have it, Jacqueline Roney, Miss Sprint Cup. The only Miss Sprint Cup that hadn't been on the show up until tonight. If you want to give me a call, the number is 646-649-1899, and I'll go into a little bit of coverage about what happened over the weekend. Of course, Friday night, it seemed to be Kyle Busch night. He started on the pole, and led four times for 107 of 147 laps. This seemed to be his night all over. There's no way that everybody was going to catch him. Elliot Sadler had finished second, started second as well. And third was Brian Vicker. So the top three spots taken by Joe Gibbs Racing. And I was looking down. And then after that was Joey Logano. And then Matt Kenseth came home fifth in the nationwide race. So it was a Joe Gibbs night there, putting all four of their cars in the top five. The only blemish on that from being four out of four was Joey Logano in the fourth spot for Penske Racing. Kyle Larson, the rookie phenom, came home sixth. Reagan Smith came home seventh. He won the nationwide race at Talladega a week before. Sam Hornish, a decent run for him, finishing eighth after a couple of bad outings, where he wound up getting damaged at Talladega and then the week before. Casey Kane came home ninth. Justin Allgaier came home 10th. And think about the Nationwide Series race when they run like that and you get one guy smoking everybody, just kind of hard to put a thing on it. There were 10 lead changes amongst eight drivers. There were four cautions for 17 laps. Believe it or not, not one of them was for debris. It was just three accidents and a spin out. It seemed, other than that, it was a pretty clean race there. And the way it happened all was the fact that, Kyle Busch, I don't know, when he starts up front, I would have much rather seen him run his own car like he did last year and have a struggle with it. Because now that he's back running for Joe Gibbs, and, of course, the number's the same, the sponsor's the same in the 54, back with Gibbs Racing, it seems like if he's up at the front every week. I mean, the race took an hour and 32 minutes and 6 seconds. This is Darlington, too tough to tame. That's as long as a decent movie at the theater, an hour and a half. So the fact that they got that in that quick, the average speed was 130 miles an hour, which was not bad. It wasn't a record, but it's still running at a pretty good clip. The margin of victory, 0.935 seconds. Was a few car lengths there, and it just seems that if nothing happens to Kyle Busch throughout the race, it seems to be usually his to win or lose, and he took it to the bank on Friday night. Of course, this would be in Mother's Day weekend. Everything was running Friday and Saturday because NASCAR doesn't, the Spring Cup races don't run on Mother's Day, and they haven't for years. So when the opening came up for Darlington Friday and Saturday night, they went there. In the Nationwide Championship race, Regan Smith leads Sam Hornish by 28 points. Elliot Sadler sits in third, 42 back. Justin Allgaier, the little Gator, 43 back. And fourth and fifth is Brian Vickers. He's 49 back. You got a 7-point difference right there where that could change depending on the week. Austin Dillon, 6. He's 52 back. So you can't really count him out of corner, out of spots. It's still early in the season. The way the point system is set up now, a bad race could really make a big difference where it seems you can make up ground a little better, too, provided that it's earlier in the season. And seventh is Parker Kligerman. In the points, Brian Scott is eighth in the point. Alex Bowman, another rookie, is ninth. And tenth in the points is Kyle Larson. The one everybody's wondering about is Trevor Bayne got into another wreck Friday night when he pinched up up the wall there, so he kind of damaged his car. See who he wound up getting crunched by. That was a 24 car. He pinched up on that and damaged both their cars. Not helping Trevor Bayne that well. Somebody with that much talent wrecking some cars of late. So it wasn't good for him to do that. Johanna Long was not in the car this week at Darlington, and Tim Raines was in a car with the number 70 on it, which I'm not sure of that situation there. I'm even wondering if her team fields the car for that, or they just rent the number, because it's Tony Raines. No, it's not even the same car. They just must use the number on the races that ML Motorsports isn't running, because Tony Raines drives a Camry, and he started 33rd, or he started 39th and wound up finishing 33rd. And every time Johanna runs, it's a Chevy Camaro, and she usually starts in the top 20, so I guess that's a deal that ML has with Tony Raines and the races that they're not running with Johanna. Because she's scheduled for 21 races with ML Motorsports. We have to see her run the full year. I mean, she's 28th in points, and she's been out of the car for five races. Well, at least three races. She won't be at Dover. She'll be running Charlotte, I guess, this weekend, so we'll see what happens there. I look for her to have a decent qualifying run and hopefully a good finish. She needs to build on something, and it seems that when she's out of the car, they don't get that rhythm working. If you want to agree with me, you can give me the call at 646-649-1899. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You're listening to Garage Talk Live. Well, we have about 20 minutes to go, so I guess we'll get into the Cup race. Again, it looked like another Kyle Busch snooze fest as he pretty much led everything from the beginning of the race on four times for 265 of the 367 laps. All but 102 laps he led, so that tells you how much time he spent up front. Of course, but as it came down to it, the first 80 laps of the race, there were no cautions. As a matter of fact, the first caution didn't come out until lap 125, actually. So, and that was for debris. So that was a sketchy one there. I didn't really see the debris. They said it was turn two, but nothing was spotted. And then the next caution didn't come out until lap 303 when the 51 spun out on turn two. And that was one of those ones that I would have questioned why they dropped the yellow that quick. The 51 would have been able to straighten the car out and keep going, but I guess NASCAR wanted to bunch them up a little bit, so they threw the quick yellow. And then, of course, in the second, with that time, with only with less than 50 laps to go, cautions were going to breed cautions. So lap 313, which is five laps after the last restart, Keselowski, Casey Mears, and Kurt Busch got into it. Kurt Busch, a pole sitter, which is a good run for him, and Furniture Row Motorsports there. I was pretty impressed with the fact that he stuck that car on the pole and was able to run up front for a bit, because he led two times for 69 laps, and you figure out at 367, you have 334 laps led by Busch brothers. So Jeff Gordon got to lead a bit, and Matt Kenseth were the only other leaders, or four leaders for nine lead changes amongst the four leaders. And there were only five cautions for 25 laps, and the last one was Casey Kane brought out the last caution when he and Kyle Busch were racing, and you couldn't tell whether Casey got clipped or Kyle Busch caught enough air off his left rear to get him to slide, because Kane had been past Kyle Busch when the car spun, so every angle they showed didn't really look like there was too much contact made. And that race was a quickie, too. I mean, 3 hours, 32 minutes, and 45 seconds for a 500-miler. Average speed, 141.3. They were already saying that the average speed had been as high as 152 mile an hour, which would have been a record. But that wasn't the case. The margin of victory, it wasn't even close. It was 3.15 seconds between Matt Kenseth and Denny Hamlin, who actually ran his first full race since his back injury. And it was good to see him sit in the car that long, because that's a pretty tough race for anybody. Denny Hamlin said afterwards that the 600 miles of Charlotte was a lot easier than the 500 at Darlington. So just to, I guess, because of the speed of the pit stops and how things run there. Jeff Gordon finished third, Jimmy Johnson fourth, Kevin Harvick wound up fifth, Kyle Busch slid all the way back to sixth, and then it was realized that he had a cut tire. I'm amazed he didn't wreck it, because he was just trying to hang in there to keep it home in one piece, I guess, and usually you cut a tire, it's not long before the thing shreds apart, and you hit the wall, because Kyle Busch was winning every restart, and if he didn't get out of the pits first, he did make that up on the track to get the lead back. So you got to watch Kyle Busch, love him or hate him. I know they say Ron Hornaday was the king of the restarts, but I don't think he can go a can of love to Kyle Busch anymore on that. So if you want to give us a call, 646-649-1899. Tomorrow night we have our Low Down and Dirty with Joe Adams and Scott Deal and Ed Whippy White right here on the same channel. Just click on Low Down and Dirty Edition. You'll be able to tune in, and they handle all the dirt track action from Pennsylvania and around, bringing on various different guests. It's a good show. It's one of the top shows on our network, the Garage Talk Live Motorsports Network, I guess. And, of course, our girl's getting the facts. I don't know if Tammy is airing this week or not. She's been busy at Grandview Speedway and a couple other tracks that she helps promote. So enough to check. Go to blogtalkradio.com, Garage Talk Live, and you can see what's scheduled to air next. And back to the Cup side. Seventh, we hit the top six. Seventh was Carl Edwards. That's the highest running Ford of the night. And then it went Juan Pablo Montoya in eighth, Dale Jr. in ninth, and Ryan Newman in tenth. And you don't see your next four till 13th, where Greg Biffle finished there. 14th was Kurt Busch after the incident late in the race there. Still managed a good run. After the Bojangles Southern 500, I got to go out to Bojangles and give you some chicken after the show tonight. Your points leader now is still Jimmy Johnson. Where did Jimmy finish? Finished fourth. So Carl Edwards was his second in the points. He's 44 back. Kenseth getting his points, his bonus points, and his seeding points all back, is now in third place at 59 behind. Give him 3 wins on the season, which would put him in the top spot for the chase start this week, but we've got a few races to go before that. Dale Jr.'s in fourth. He's 64 back. Clint Boyer is fifth, 74 back. Sixth is Casey Kane, 97 back. Scuffed up the car a little bit, would have had a bit better finish, and would have had a few more points on the board, but he still would have maintained sixth place, I believe. Brad Keselowski was seventh, not an easy day for him as well. Kyle Busch, eighth. Ninth is Eric Amarola, and 10th is Kevin Harvick. And in your wild card spots, right now, David Reagan, I guess, even though he's 26th in points right now, would probably get it because of he's the only one out of the top 10 that has a win. Nobody else does, so that would automatically move him up to that. Danica Patrick, sitting 28th in points. Not another not that good of a day for her. She wound up 5 laps down. Still managed 28th place finish. But something's amiss over at Stuart Haas Racing, because even Ryan Newman has been running much better, and Tony Stewart was only running a little better than that. So I think the only race that Danica did well in after Daytona was Martinsville, which was a race she wasn't expected to do too well in, so had a top 15 finish or a top 20 finish there. I can go back and give you the exact, but doesn't matter when you're out of the top 10. But little growing pains, I guess, there. If she doesn't improve for the second half of the season, then something's wrong. A little more than that. Right now, Ryan Newman is running 17th in the points. Tony Stewart is 21st in the points. So they're not running too far ahead of her. But then again, Tony Stewart is a second half of the year kind of guy. So he seems to turn it on right around just before the next race at Daytona. Let's check the schedule for this coming weekend. I think the first race up this coming weekend will be the 17th. Which is Friday night at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. It'll be the Camping World Truck Series. That'll be at 8 p.m. on Speed. And then the Nationwide Series doesn't return to action until the 25th, which is Saturday night on Memorial Day weekend, where they're at Charlotte on ABC at 2:30. No ESPN that time. And then of course the Sprint Cup Series this week will be pulling the double duty at Charlotte with the All Star Race Saturday, and that's on Speed at 7:30. So that'll probably be the whole event. From the All-Star Preliminary to see who gets in and who races their way in before the fan vote, and then the All-Star event itself. 5 segments, 4 20-lappers, and then a 10-lapper. That should be interesting to see how it goes. We'll have a wrap-up on that on Monday. We'll preview the Coke 600 as well, make our picks. If you want to get in on the conversation, the number is 646-649-9231. 1-800-516-1899. We'd love to take your calls for the time we have left. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You're listening to Garage Talk Live here on Blog Talk Radio. Also, next weekend coming up, we're going to have the Indy 500. So I'm going to see if I can grab somebody. That'll be the 26th as well. I know there's rumors and talk of Kurt Busch, if the racing gods play out, where he's going to try to run both races. But I think due to the way the races have been scheduled of late, they started the Indy 500 about an hour later than they used to back in the day when Robbie Gordon, Tony Stewart, and John Andretti ran both races. The first one to do that was John Andretti. And then Robbie Gordon and Tony Stewart, a couple of years later, went for the Memorial Day 1100. So that ought to be interesting to see if he can get to do that. He was out testing with an Indy car this week. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see if you see Kurt's name in an Indy car. I think he was testing with Andretti Autosport, which seems to be running really well with James Hinchcliffe this year, and who has two wins on that. Might be the ongoing favorite to win the Indy 500. But you can't count out past winners like Frank Heedy or Kestra Nevis. They've had a couple off years at Indy, so I know Elio Castroneves has, so he'll be looking to get back in and get take the swig of milk at the end of the races with the tradition is at the Indianapolis 500. Unlike the Brickyard 400 where the winner and the crew kisses the bricks at the end of the race. So it should be kind of interesting. A lot of racing coming up. And still got some time where you can join us for a few minutes. So if you want to give me a call, we're looking to add a few more guests this coming week. For next week's show. So we'll see who we can get. Check out our Facebook page and Twitter. Go at Garage Talk Live or facebook.com/GarageTalkLive. And if you haven't had a chance, give us a like and be glad to add you to our rolls. So again, tomorrow night, don't forget to catch the Dirt Track Boys, Low Down and Dirty. They should they'll be entertaining you for their show for a couple hours. And then Girls Getting the Facts. So I'm Vince Bonfigli, and I'd like to thank you all for joining me tonight. And we'll see you all next week. Good night and good racing.